Say ah! It's time for Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com. And now, Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. First of all, it's very good to see you two. I haven't seen you in two or three weeks, I guess.
It's a pleasure. Yeah, it's been about 3 weeks.
All right, it's been about 3 weeks. Let's not let that go by so far again.
That sounds
let's see
great.
Each other. What are you doing tomorrow? Well, whatever. Anyway, so the title of today's show is Why Wait? Why Wait? So we're talking about periodontal disease, periodontitis, et cetera, et cetera. Waiting can be very injurious to your situation, Dr. Edelstein, correct?
It can be. A very wise person once made the analogy, it's like a crack on a windshield. I think that was you, Jeff.
He's brilliant.
It?
Yeah, that was me. That was me.
But the reality of it is, the sooner we can treat periodontal disease, and by the way, folks, we know that there's an epidemic out there, periodontal disease. 50% of people, age 35 and older, have some form of periodontal disease, and 70% of the people, 65 and older, have some form of periodontal disease. It is an epidemic, and it's either underdiagnosed or undertreated. And the reality of it is, the sooner we can treat someone or make some suggestions or provide very conservative, easy treatment, the better off that someone will be, and it's curable early. Mm-hmm. So why wait?
Mm. Doubtless you see people all the time who are, they either come to you directly or they're referred to you by their general practitioner, who you say to yourself, wow, I wish I had gotten to this person or they'd come to me 10 years earlier.
90% of the time.
Oh.
I wish I saw someone sooner. And the reality of it is that the trend over the last, 20 years or so is when we see someone, it's usually more advanced. There's significant bone loss to the point to where teeth have a guarded or hopeless prognosis. Teeth need to be converted to implants, but it doesn't have to be that way. We could fix this and help people before they lose teeth, before they have infections that are serious, before they need implants to replace teeth. And the irony is, we know now that there are serious systemic consequences.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we talked on previous shows, higher rates of heart attack, stroke, diabetes. We can go on and on about other things as well. Alzheimer's may be related to periodontal disease. Pancreatic cancer may have a connection to periodontal disease. So we know about all of these systemic consequences and horrendous local consequences, let alone bad taste, bad breath, drifting of teeth, bleeding of the gums, and yet. We are seeing these cases later and later in its progression.
Are the gums sometimes discolored?
Sometimes.
I saw a lady not long ago. I didn't know her, but I just happened to see her. I was talking to her for a couple minutes, and her gums looked almost like purple.
Yeah.
It was a. Mm-hmm. Would that be a sign to you? Would that be a red flag?
Immediately.
Yeah, a purplish color, absolutely.
Red.
Unhealthy gums.
Purple, puffy, swollen. Bleeding when anyone brushes or flosses. If your hands bled when you washed your hands, you think you'd have a problem?
Absolutely.
And see some sort of specialist to correct that. So why wouldn't people see a periodontist? That's the bottom line here. Why wait?
I was going to say, in lieu of the recent literature that came out about Alzheimer's disease, the world of medicine is checking and researching these links pretty aggressively. Inflammation with Alzheimer's, inflammation with heart disease, and gum disease is the number one source of chronic inflammation. So they're on this, and they're trying to figure out the exact mechanism. One thing they've come across with Alzheimer's disease recently, this was just all over social media and the news a few weeks ago, was that now a theory for them to track down and research further is that someone later in life may be prone to Alzheimer's because the years prior they were fighting infections. And when the body fights infection, it does promote certain stimulation of certain infection fighting mechanisms, blood cells, whatever they may be, and they end up in the brain. And this is the normal course of the body fighting infection. What they think happens with Alzheimer's patients is that these initial healthy fighting responses land in the brain, and then they stay there, and then they morph into something negative. And as they stay, they become quite toxic, and now a person may develop Alzheimer's. So might not it be prudent for a patient to not wait till he's 60 or 70 to treat gum disease? What if that theory is really true? Why spend decades fighting off infection when it can be treated earlier and maybe prevent Alzheimer's?
Isn't there a test now for, maybe it's been out for years, to detect the presence of inflammation in the body, just kind of in general?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's called a C-reactive protein test, but it doesn't tell you where it is necessarily.
But it's a red flag, isn't it?
It can be.
Wow.
And we have this technology on
it. Yeah.
But yet you can look at somebody and see inflammation right in their mouth. Right?
Yeah.
In their,
yeah. You don't need gums. a C-reactive protein test when your gums are bleeding.
Yeah.
I mean
that's...
it's that simple.
Staring you in the face,
yeah,
literally.
So I have an article here. Mm-hmm. It's from a magazine called RDH. I guess it means Registered Dental Hygienist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is distributed to all of the hygienists throughout the country.
Okay, it's written by a lady named Patty Deganji.
Deganji?
What is she?
I don't know. Patty, if you're listening, we don't mean, call in. We'd love to know how to pronounce your name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Capital G-A-N-G-I. Okay. Now, Dr. Edelson, you come from New York and I come from Philly. Mm-hmm. So we usually know names like this.
Yeah,
right?
We should.
Italian.
We should.
Yeah, well, here we are. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
You know? you're right.
For not knowing how to pronounce it. But, you know, I mentioned to you, I thought this was a beautifully written article by this lady.
She was very articulate.
And
I applaud her bravery for speaking out about it.
Yeah, I mean, she's putting it out there, you know.
She's working in a general dental office right now.
She's in huge trouble.
Yeah.
So it says here, the first sentence, though, of the article says, study after study show the connections between the health of the oral environment and the rest of the body. Well, this is what you've been preaching for how long now, though?
Well, weeks, months on the show.
Says, yet as a whole, dentistry referred more patients to the periodontist in the last 20 years of the last century than we have in the first 15 years of this century. So it sounds backwards to me.
Yes.
So they're saying more patients were referred to the periodontist between 1980 and 2000.
Correct.
Than between 2000 and 2015.
Yep.
Why? This sounds
because
terrible.
If it's diagnosed, it's being undertreated and being under-referred. The patients are not being referred the way they should.
Okay. Now, I'm a layman, but I think I know enough to know that, first of all, the gums, it's not something to mess around with, okay? And if I'm going to have my gums evaluated and treated, which apparently 50% of us over age 35 need to do.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I should do it I should get it done by a periodontist, somebody who specializes in this and does it every day.
Yes.
I would. I wouldn't want to have my mammogram taken at the general practitioner. I'd want to have it taken at a center where that's all they do.
You know something? My wife is a breast cancer survivor, 21 years.
Great.
A couple of years after her diagnosis, her oncologist, who would check her periodically, he found there was something he didn't like in her blood, I guess. And so he did some further testing. He said, you know something? He said, your thyroid is overactive. And he said, I want you to go to such and such doctor who's an endocrinologist.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So I had to get a referral from our general practitioner who would not do it.
Wow.
He said, no. He says, we do this all the time. I'm not going to agree to do this. I mean, he was nice about it, but he said, but the bottom line was he wasn't going to do it. And the oncologist got on the phone with him. I don't know what he said to him. The next thing I know, we had a referral
Oh, wow.
Yeah, to the endocrinologist. Yeah, because this oncologist said, there's just no way. He says, we're watching you closely. We're monitoring you closely. We need this fellow to handle it. And I don't think there was anything unsavory about his relationship with this fellow.
Yeah.
I don't think it was anything more than that he felt that this is the best person to handle my life situation under the circumstances.
Mm. Wow.
He wanted someone who had experience in dealing with that and years of it.
And sees that type of situation on a daily basis rather than a weekly or monthly basis.
Yeah.
Now, is it possible, if you don't mind me asking, and I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but if I have gum disease, I mean, theoretically, could a general practitioner, theoretically, could he be allowed to treat it?
Yes.
He could be permitted to?
Yes. A dentist can treat any dental condition by their license to practice dentistry. And some may do a very capable and be very competent at it, and some or many are not. That's what we're saying. It's not universal across the board. Just because they can treat something, that they can do it very well. Legally, they can, but it really does take an extra training, extra expertise, and a lot of experience to treat anything very well.
Hmm.
We talked a few months ago about, I think it was 10,000 hours to be proficient at something.
Yeah.
And it really takes a long time to get good at something to the level to where you're an expert. So just because someone can do something doesn't mean that they're going to be terrific at it. That's the bottom line.
You know, it seems to me like if you're doing everything,
yes,
you can't be good at anything.
Yeah.
If you're doing everything.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
Yeah, lawyers know this.
I mean, lawyers specialize in things. There are divorce attourneys. There are bankruptcy attorneys. There are real estate attorneys. They know that.
When they go up against a general practitioner who's in an area that he or she...
They probably love it.
They eat their lunch.
They love it. They love it. Could you imagine...
Low-hanging fruit for them.
Could you imagine a real estate attorney litigating a case in front of a jury?
No, I think they'd be...
And, you know, the other side of the coin, physicians have a specialty network. And could you imagine if you needed a heart surgery going to your general physician for heart surgery?
No.
But dentistry, it's mangled. The traditional referral network is muted. The protocols are muted. And I think periodontal disease and periodontists are the worst off because of this. Because if someone, think about it, if they break a bone, they know they need to see an orthopedist. If they poke themselves in their eye, they need to see an ophthalmologist. That's clear. If they have crooked teeth, almost everyone knows they need to see an orthodontist. If they break a jawbone, they know they need to see an oral surgeon. But if someone has bleeding gums, what do?
Go to the dentist.
They go to the GP.
They go to the general dentist. Because I don't think the general public has an awareness that there is a gum specialist out there. Jeff, 9 months ago when we decided to talk to you about doing the show, that was our main reason,
mm-hmm.
to make the public aware that there is a specialty of periodontics, that we do specialize in treating the foundation, the gums and the bone around the teeth. And we are expert at that.
But you said that, so many of them don't know this, but there are a lot of general practitioner dentists,
mm-hmm.
who aren't in any hurry to tell them.
Well, that's why. Yeah.
Right.
That's why.
True.
That's why we're doing this show. Why wait? Exactly. Because if I tell you, so how many times have you heard a patient say that someone was watching it?
Way too many times.
Your gums are a little puffy. We're going to keep an eye on it.
And he and I sit here and scratch our heads after the patient. What were they watching? Yeah. All the bone disappear away from the tooth?
That's what this article is about.
Yeah.
But that's what I think is the gist of the article.
Yes,
we have to
exactly.
take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, though, we're going to talk again about this article.
Oh, perfect.
And basically, the theme of today's show is why wait? Okay. And it's based around an article I think is very beautifully written by a registered dental hygienist named Patty DeGangi. D-I-G-A-N-G-I. You're from New York, Dr. Edelstein. Yes. I'm from Philly. But, you know, Sue, you're from Buffalo.
I know.
New
we
York.
Should die.
You should,
full of
a should be
we
ashamed
should
of yourself.
This. I know. I'm going with DeGangi.
I'll go with what Sue said.
Hey, you know something? I think we ought to call her. I'll find
out. Yeah, we should.
Watch, she'll answer the phone and go, hi, this is Patty. All right. Folks, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist located at 2045 Peachtree Road. It's right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. Next to the Darlington Apartments. Sue, I always look at you when I say that, but it's a great landmark. Doc, do you know how many, what's the population now? Because the Darlington Apartments have that.
I know. I haven't looked, Jeff. Mm. I've been remiss. I haven't done my homework.
I haven't either. As a matter of fact,
we'll do it next time.
We were passing by, and I was right in front of the sign, and I kept looking over to see, and the traffic was backing up a little bit, and I was afraid I was going to hit someone. So I decided to pay closer attention.
It's not that important.
Exactly. So I decided to pay closer attention to driving.
But if you're going north on Peachtree, your building is right after the Darlington. It's the first building.
Correct.
After the Darlington. You got plenty of free parking for people. It's wonderful, actually. 2045 Peachtree Road. Visit mygumdoc.com. Mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein in just a moment.
And now, back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. You know, every once in a while, I like to kind of restate to our audience your qualifications, Dr. Edelstein. Well, Sue, you are a registered dental hygienist. Mm-hmm. You've been practicing hygiening. You've been a practicing hygienist for how many years?
Hygienist, 33.
33 years. One of the things he told me that I thought was very interesting was that when you were in school, you had braces on your teeth.
Yeah, got my teeth cleaned all the time.
Got them all the time.
They wanted to practice.
Wow, that's great.
I had spotless teeth in college.
You have beautiful teeth, by the way. May I say you have beautiful teeth, too, Dr.
Thank you.
Don't you think that's important?
It truly, yes.
How'd you like to go to a dentist who's got terrible-looking teeth? Or cosmetically, you know, you can see, you don't need a professional sometimes to see, wow, this person really needs...
Yeah. Well, it's like going to the cardiologist and he's morbidly obese.
Yeah,
smokes. You really got to believe in what you do.
Yeah. Didn't you work for we're not going to say his name, but for a pedodontist, which is a pediatric dentist, who didn't like children?
Yes.
I mean, that's something.
Yes.
I once saw an orthopedist. I'll never forget. It's no secret. I have terrible knees. I've had one replaced. I'm going to need the other one replaced.
Okay.
So I went to an orthopedist a number of years ago, and his fingers were stained yellow from cigarette smoke. He was a world-renowned orthopedist.
Wow.
And I never went back because of it.
No, I say to myself, he can't get it together enough to quit smoking.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. So you're right. I think you should take care of yourself when you're in that profession.
Yeah, right.
Well, I'll say this. Dr. Edelstein's the only dentist that I've worked for in 33 years that sits in the chair and has his teeth cleaned every 3 months.
Wow. That's great.
What does that say?
You two have worked together for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
22?
22 mm-hmm. years?
22.
Okay, so how long has Carol been there?
11.
All right, 11. And she drives down from Ackworth.
Yeah.
And she told me, I must pass 50 dental offices on my way to work. But she says, this is the only dental office I would prefer to work for is Dr. Edelstein's office. So that says a lot, because it's quite a schlep for her from Ackworth.
It is.
And how long has Tina been there?
Same, about 22 years.
That's amazing. And Sylvia, who just retired.
Sylvia just retired. She traveled from the other side of Athens.
That is amazing.
For 22 years also. Mm-hmm. The three of you started about the same time.
We did.
Didn't you?
So
mm-hmm.
Sylvia was with you, say, 22
about
years?
22 mm-hmm. years.
Wow. Wow. And how long a ride was? It must have been more than an hour each way.
For Sylvia, without traffic, I think it was an hour and a half,
yeah.
wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She told me once, you know, like if traffic's good, it's not so bad. And I could hear her rationalizing.
Yeah,
know?
I know.
How wonderful the ride
yeah.
in
well, yeah.
one, to work
one,
is.
One thing I did, Jeff, is I allowed her to come very early, very early. Like she would get on the road at 5 to get to the office, and she would be there by 6:30 or 7. The latest.
So you let her leave early too?
And then most of the time she left at 3.
Well, she didn't have to be there during your formal office hours. She just had work that she had to get done for you.
Right, right.
It was very important.
And because of the travel time, we allowed her to be very that flexible.
Okay, so we're talking about this article by Patty DiGangi, DiGangi. Oh, we've got to find out the pronunciation
yeah.
of this name.
You got me curious.
And so the article, well, we're calling it Why Wait? It says, perio maintenance or managed neglect, ? Why are we watching and waiting before referring? And
that's a harsh term, managed neglect. Think about it, managed neglect.
Mm.
It's really sad, but that is what we see. They're not having some sort of treatment. We're not talking about people who never go to the dentist. We're talking about people who go regularly and show up at our office, finally, with very advanced disease.
Well, and she says in here, too, she says, periodontal disease has come to mean bone loss. Many professionals see it this way because bone loss is a parameter often required for coverage by dental insurance carriers. Well, that sounds like a very sad state of affairs.
Yeah, it is.
It is. But it really isn't. Periodontal disease many times begins before there's bone loss, and it's fixable and very, very correctable beforehand.
I love the analogy she gives because I think it's one a lot of people can relate to. People that have high blood pressure, how would they feel if on a national and consistent enough level, most physicians, you got high blood pressure. Let's just watch it. No medication, no nutrition counseling, no diet, no exercise counseling, and watch until they have a heart attack?
Yeah.
Medicine doesn't do that. They usually are putting their patients on some sort of high blood pressure medication. There's nutritional and dietary and exercise counseling. They're not just watching. Why are we doing the same in our profession?
That's not happening here. I mean, we are watching these conditions get worse.
And as she says here in the article, Sue, I think you just stated it basically, is waiting for bone to be lost before we recognize the disease is like waiting for a heart attack before we treat high blood pressure.
Right.
Can you imagine a patient with slight chest pain and 50% blockage?
Yeah.
And the cardiologist saying, we'll watch it.
Right.
And then adding a big red W on the chart. I guess that means for watch.
Watch, yeah.
How many people would accept this treatment?
Right. I mean, we have patients who have 50% bone loss around several teeth, not just one. That's our version of the heart attack.
All right, so
not okay to lose 50% of the bone around your teeth.
So tell me, Dr. Edelstein,
mm-hmm.
somebody who's been a hygienist for 32 years like Sue has, is that what you said, 32 years? Okay. You don't look old enough, anywhere near old enough to be. Does she look old enough to be? Mm. All right. He's shaking his head now. All right. somebody who's been an RDH for mm-hmm. 33 years, often, I'll bet, you tell me, they may be more competent in some areas than dentists are who are new to the practice of dentistry.
Sometimes they are, of course.
You know, because they've been doing it for years and years, and they may not have the formal dental training, but they have the hands-on training.
Yeah. And then how many times do we hear a hygienist may want to make recommendations to patients, and then the dentist will override that and say, well, why don't we just watch it?
Right. I do love what Patty says in this article about how general dentists have training, dentists have training, dental hygienists have training, but none of that can equal or take the place of the training that the periodontist has. And as hygienists, that kind of is our area to maintain the periodontium. But I do think, I've always said this, I think it would behoove every hygienist to do a tour of duty for 3 to 5 years in a periodontal office because it will change your career. It will change how you treat your patients. I thought I was good until I came to work for Dr. Edelstein. And then I realized, wow, what I was watching and managing, wow, so to speak. And I worked for excellent dentists.
You know, let me give this analogy, because maybe this is apropos to what we're saying here today. And that is, and I think I've mentioned this before, you know, if you have blood in your GI tract and you notice blood, okay, mm-hmm, or you're coughing up blood, let's say,
mm-hmm,
okay, at that point it may be very late,
yeah,
okay, if it turns out it's cancer, all right, it may be very late, mm-hmm, to try to find occult blood,
right,
you know, blood that you can't see,
right,
in either in your feces or maybe,
yes,
in your sputum, whatever,
yes,
part of the body.
Yes.
I hope I said that correctly and very diplomatically. And isn't it kind of the same kind of situation? They want to discover these problems before they're so overt.
Yeah, and I think bleeding is not an early sign.
Correct.
I think it's a sign that there's already moderate disease going on.
Right.
Because patients normally don't self-report bleeding when there is significant inflammation in the gum tissues.
Well, Patty has here in her article the statistic. We see it in our practice every single day. But the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has now stated that there is as high as a 50% underdiagnosis in period. It's not just us. It's not. Mm. We've seen it. We feel it. We've been feeling this trend for a number of years. But now we have people in the profession reporting on it. We have the CDC gathering data and reporting on it. And it really is a problem.
All right. We have to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about something that's mentioned in the article. It's a section of the article called Kelly's Story. I don't know if you've read this. This is really fascinating, and I think it's just right on point.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that when we come back. I want to remind you, folks, we still have our new patient special at the office of Dr. Bruce Edelstein, $129. You get $650 worth of services. I actually took advantage of it myself. And, you know, I could see from what everything that I got from you all, I could see that I was getting a lot more than $129.
Yeah.
You could never do this.
Right.
You could never make any money.
Right. That there was
this
value.
It was a loser.
No,
probably.
We're trying to give something back to the community and help people get on the right track.
Yeah. But it's interesting because I've told this to a lot of people. My wife and I still talk about this, that the second show we ever did, I said to you at the end of the show, okay, I need to see you.
Yes, you did.
Okay, I think I need you to take a look at me.
No, I actually had a friend.
You had a friend.
That may need to see me.
Yeah, you hear that all the time. I have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they accidentally speak in the first person instead of the third person.
Yeah, mm-hmm, yeah.
They let it slip. All right, you're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist located at 2045 Peachtree Road. It's right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next to the Darlington Apartments. Plenty of free parking there. Visit mygumdoc.com. He happens to be my gum doc as well. Mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein straight ahead.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital, next to the Darlington Apartments. I like to, it's a great landmark, the Darlington.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming north on Peachtree, it's the next building.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. And you, the parking is free. You validate, you know.
We pay for parking.
Uh-huh. And hopefully it's just for your patients, not for the dermatologist down the hall. That's an inside story.
Yes.
All right. So we're talking about, the theme today is called Why Wait? And waiting can be it can be destructive financially too, as well as.
Yes.
As well as systemically. Right? Sometimes, you know, people will say, wow, this is going to cost me a fortune. Well, it may be very expensive because it's very involved, but it wouldn't be a fortune if it had been attended to years earlier when it was first developing.
Right. Absolutely. I love it when I see someone and they need very little treatment.
You don't mind that, saying to them?
I love it.
Wish
I love
it.
I compliment them. I wish we saw more of it. And And it's a pleasure to keep someone from getting into trouble.
Is there a particular age at which a person you think should begin to, should first consult a periodontist, you know, a good, experienced periodontist, you know, who limits his practice or her practice to periodontics? Is there a particular age at which somebody should consult for the first time? Because it is so important.
Mm-hmm. I think any adult should probably consult a periodontist, especially anyone who smokes.
Wants to start a family. Hasn't been to the dentist in a year.
Yep. Someone who needs to go on a bisphosphonate drug to strengthen their bones beforehand should definitely see a periodontist, because there are very significant consequences afterwards.
Just got out of braces.
Maybe hasn't
had their teeth cleaned during orthodontics.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, I know people.
There's a long list.
I know people, sad to say, haven't been to a dentist in years. You know? Now, I go four times a year. Because I want to be monitored closely.
The first place that person should go that hasn't been to a dentist is a periodontist.
Mm. Well, the sad part, too, is that social media and commercials always say, see your dentist. They never use the word periodontist. You'll see a commercial for Listerine where it talks about fighting gingival inflammation, and then they'll go on to say, consult your dentist. What about the periodontist? We're talking about gum inflammation.
You know, it's almost saying you don't need to go to a periodontist because, well, this solution is going to get rid of 99.9% of the bacteria.
Well, that's a whole nother show.
It's a false sense of security,
yes.
And it probably does superficially, but nothing under the gum. It doesn't touch anything under the gum, period.
You ever see sometimes, too, they have a dentist giving sort of a testimonial about it, you know, with the white coat on.
You mean an actor?
An actor.
Yeah. I don't think those are real dentists.
Well, listen to what Patty DeGangi says here in this article that we're talking about. She says, a general dentist can perform endodontics, oral surgery, and more, but to say their educational preparation is the same as those who specialize in each area is erroneous. For a hygienist to think our educational background is the same as periodontists is also erroneous. And I think this says it all.
Yes.
A general dentist can perform endodontics,
yes.
Oral surgery,
yes.
And more?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Legally, they can. Their license enables them to. But should they? It depends. Someone could take hundreds and thousands of hours of extra training and be very proficient, or not.
But most of them, I mean, if you're doing everything, basically, like I said, I don't think you can become good at anything. I applaud a dentist who says, you know something, this is above my pay grade.
Yeah.
You need to see somebody who knows more about this than I do.
You know, the last time I did a crown was 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm capable of making a crown for someone.
And you sent me to somebody who does it all the time.
Yes.
And so...
And he'll do a great job.
And I applaud you for sending me to somebody else. Because I'd have been glad for you to do it, but you said no. All right. So let's talk about Kelly's mm-hmm. story. This is mentioned in this article. So Kelly is a 20-year-old patient of record since childhood. She's currently a college student away from home for the first time. Her medical history includes taking Yaz and multivitamins.
That's a birth control.
Okay. It says that she might be pregnant.
I guess she skipped a day or two.
Yeah, I guess she missed a couple. Well, she's all of 20 now, you know.
She was hungover.
Yeah,
she
really.
Skipped a day or two.
Yeah, she's got a problem, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, before we go on this, you mentioned something about a person said she should see a periodontist if they're thinking of having a family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why? What does that mean?
If a female has periodontal disease, she has a 7 times greater risk of delivering a preterm baby, which is huge. I mean, the consequences of a preterm baby, your baby's in neonatal. There could be lifelong learning disability and or health problems. And if you do have gingival inflammation and or periodontal disease, your risk has just gone up 7 times.
So if she's pregnant, she goes to the doctor. So she's going to a OBGYN.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Shouldn't they routinely send her over to a periodontist,
They should, but they don't.
But wow, 7 times greater chance
yeah,
of,
but
oh
it's
my
not
goodness.
Happening.
Hey, if you're pregnant out there or you think you might be pregnant, you better
please go see a periodontist.
Yeah, go see a periodontist. All right, so Kelly noticed, you know, it doesn't say whether she's a good student or not, but it does say that she takes Yaz and multivitamins yes. and she might be pregnant. She's away from home for the first time. There are a lot of Kellys out there, aren't there?
Yeah.
All right. She noticed some white spots on her teeth and bleeding gums. And she mentioned that she started drinking energy drinks to help get her schoolwork done. On weekends, she adds a little vodka.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
that explains the Yaz birth control and might be pregnant.
There you go.
And that vodka.
Too much vodka.
And then a little vaping. What is that, the electronic cigarettes?
Yeah.
Is that the, is that what they call it? She has no previous history of periodontal disease or cavities documented. Dr. Edelstein, Sue, do you ask if a young female comes into you, do you ask if she could be pregnant?
Yeah. It's on our medical history.
And it's something you need to know, isn't it?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So it says, so she doesn't have any previous history of periodontal disease or cavities documented. Kelly's periodontal diagnosis is plaque-induced gingival disease modified by systemic factors, pregnancy, and numbers 14 and 15 localized aggressive periodontitis with 2 millimeter bone loss.
Which is a lot of bone loss.
2 millimeter bone loss?
It doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot.
Okay, and numbers 14 and 15, is that the teeth? 14?
The teeth, yeah. The first and second molar.
Okay, so I don't think I've got a 14.
Correct.
I used to have
you
a
have
14.
You have an implant now.
You have an implant instead of...
I mean, we were old friends. You
instead
know,
of your friend.
You parted ways.
We did a lot of great eating together, but nothing's forever. Okay, so here's the question. And I'd like you to answer this, Dr. Mm-hmm. Edelstein. In your opinion, will Kelly be referred for a periodontal consult?
Probably not.
Wow. Well, that's very sad.
Not
to hear.
In that stage.
Probably not.
But she should be, shouldn't she?
We think so.
We could fix that easily.
She says here, Patty DeGangi says, many reading this article will question taking a full mouth set of radiographs. Do you agree with that? How do you feel about that?
Probably.
Even if radiographs are taken, would the 2 millimeters of bone loss and the aggressive nature of her disease be recognized?
It will not. We have patients with 5 and 6 millimeters of bone loss, and it's not recognized.
They'll probably get a little carpule of Arestin put in there. We talked about that on a previous show. It's a very common medication that does very little to nothing.
Mm. You know something, though? Because I had Arestin.
Yes.
Administered to me a couple times, and it made me feel like I was being well taken care of.
A false sense of security.
Yeah.
Kelly would have gotten a false sense of security thinking she's doing something right.
Okay, so it says, why should Kelly be referred to a periodontist? Well, the 1999 AAP classifications of periodontal diseases and conditions introduced chronic and aggressive as the two principal forms of destructive periodontal diseases and eliminated age-dependent limitations. Okay, so I think I understand what she's mm-hmm. saying here. But she said that Kelly lost 2 millimeters of bone between numbers 14 and 15 over an 8-month period.
Mm-hmm.
And she's only 20 years old. 20 years old, she clearly qualifies, according to Patty DeGangi, as having localized aggressive periodontitis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep, she does.
And just think, if this thing continues with her, she's going to be in a lot of trouble.
By the time she's 30. I mean, not even 50 or 60.
Or 25.
Yeah.
She would end up losing those two teeth and be in need of implants at a very early age when something could be rectified.
You know, I see people, I've mentioned this, I think. I see people, young kids, you know, smoking. You know, I see them, you know, you see them in the coffee houses, you know, and there they are sitting there smoking, you know, outside. You know, in the table and chairs, they're 20 years old and they're smoking away like they're going to live to be 100.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know that if they make it to 50, which most of them will, they're going to hate themselves for having smoked. Every little cough,
mm-hmm.
every little sore throat, every little sore.
Well, I think I mentioned it makes people exquisitely prone to periodontal disease. Someone estimated that 70% of periodontal disease is related to smoking.
Mm.
When we have a smoking patient, they're more likely to have disease, they're more mm-hmm. likely to have bone loss, they're more likely to be edentulous or without teeth when they're in their 70s and 80s.
Wow. And another thing that Patty says here, she says, let's ask again. Should Kelly be referred to a periodontist? Well, she says, when these details are pointed out, your answer might be yes. But if we honestly think through this case, how many times would this case have been handled as a prophy with the discussion of better flossing?
100, it happens a lot.
Almost 100%
of the time. Almost 100%. Or had the patient even been periocharted to reveal?
Before I came to work at a periodontist, Kelly would have been my watch patient. Kelly, we need to get you doing this. There is some early bone loss. Nothing to worry about right now. I'm going to clean really good up there for you.
You're only 20.
We'll check it again. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. All right. We have to take yet another break. When we come back, more on this article and our theme today, which is why wait. You're listening to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist, located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. And by the way, lest you think that it's, in a very crowded area, difficult to access, it's anything but difficult to access. You just pull right in, free parking.
Yeah.
You're right there.
It's a small building. It's easy to manage.
Absolutely. Visit mygumdoc.com. That's what I did. Mygumdoc.com. Back with more of Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein in just a moment.
And now back to Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.
And this is Jeff Davis with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Dr. Edelstein, every once in a while you kind of make fun of me saying that, like, hey, this is Jeff Davis. I don't know any other way. Well, I'll use another name next time.
You'll throw us off.
Yeah. So we're talking about this article written by a hygienist named Patty DeGange. Obviously very competent.
It's very well written.
Yeah, it's beautifully done. But Sue, you just mentioned, you related a story to Dr. Edelstein and me during the break. Maybe you can share a little bit with our audience, please.
I'd be happy to. You know, Patty wraps up her article by saying that, and I'm quoting her directly, the periodontist is not the medicine of last chances. And Dr. Edelstein and I have been feeling that way for a number of years. We're seeing people in such advanced states. And, you know, we don't mean to sound like we're railing on our fellow dentists. We have the honor of working with wonderful dentists here in the city of Atlanta. But this is a trend. We can't help but notice it. And it's not about our anger at our fellow general dentists. It's about our frustration level when we see patients in this condition. I'm thinking of a young lady we saw this week. I'll call her Catherine. She's vice president of a major, major company here. She has the money for dental care. She's been seeing a dentist. She was referred to us for one little spot. And when I took a panoramic x-ray, which shows us her whole entire mouth, she had 5 to 6 major bony defects, not 2 millimeters of bone like we talked about in Kelly's case, but these are 7 and 8 millimeters of bone loss. These are teeth that we now have to really roll up our sleeves, try to help her through, and let's hope we get a nice long-term result. We're frustrated because we are being put in the position of last chance dentistry.
And Dallas, you've met a lot of Catherine's.
That's the part B to my story. Catherine is not isolated. This is what we now see day after day after day, hour after hour after hour.
If I can just mention one other thing, and then I'd like maybe you, Dr. Edelstein, to offer a parting shot here. But in the article, it says here, the plain fact is that many clinical decisions made by dental professionals appear to be arbitrary, uncertain, and variable. This is not because we lack competence, sincerity, or diligence, but because we must make decisions about tremendously complex problems with limited evidence. And it's just like I've mentioned before, the lawyer who's getting into something, an area of law that he's not competent in. Mm-hmm. You know, it's too complex for his particular practice, his areas of expertise.
And, you know, the sad thing is that a number of organizations have created guidelines for people to follow about referrals, to when to refer to a periodontist. And they've been very well written, good, solid guidelines, and they've been and they're completely ignored by the profession at large. Mm-hmm. Don't you think so?
I do agree.
I mean, the ADA, the AAP, the American Academy of Periodontology, the American Dental Association, you can go on and on. The Academy of General Dentistry, they've made very, very excellent guidelines, and I don't see any of them followed.
Right.
These decisions are arbitrary. And what was that? What was her name? Kelly back there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or Catherine, Sue's patient. We see that over and over and over again. Mm. And the bottom line here is, why wait?
Well, fortunately, I had been working with you, and therefore I knew just from listening to two shows, I needed to go get some help. Oh, my friend. I had a friend.
Your friend needed
help.
Not me,
of course.
Well, I mean, at the top of the hour, I talked about the latest research in Alzheimer's, and it made me think, oh, I'm 50. In my 40s, have I fought off infection? In my 30s, might these be spots in my brain that may cause me to have, I know the one thing I'm not fighting is gum disease. You know, it really made me think we might be saving lives, not just teeth anymore.
And get it checked when you're young. You know, it's like I mentioned the kids smoking, you know. Stop now. Because you're going to hate yourself when you're 50.
Right. Mm-hmm.
For having smoked. And on that note, that's going to do it for this week's edition of Open Wide with Sue Skipper, Dr. Bruce Edelstein, periodontist located at 2045 Peachtree Road, right across the street from Piedmont Hospital. And remember, their new patient special, $650 worth of services for just $129. Visit mygumdoc.com, mygumdoc.com. And Sue and Dr. Edelstein, as always, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
And thank you very much.
Thank you.
This has been Open Wide with Sue Skipper and Dr. Bruce Edelstein. Specializing in periodontics, implants, and regenerative techniques, Dr. Edelstein's practice is Atlanta's premier periodontal office, where dentistry is both an art and a science. For more information, visit mygumdoc.com.